I want to take us back to where we've been the last couple of weeks and talking about grace, God's grace being a sufficient grace, God's grace being a truly amazing grace. And as we wrap up our time together regarding grace, we know that we have only scratched the surface thinking about grace, but it has been our heart's desire and what God has placed upon us to just talk about the beauty of grace and what His grace does for you and me. And today I want to emphasize the right response or a response to grace. Sister Carolyn, as she was given her testimony, talked about how because of God's grace and mercy to her, she said that she owes Him her all. And that is truly the response to grace that God desires of each one of us, is to be of that mindset that when we come to understand the magnanimity or the magnitude of what He has done for us, is that we in turn understand that we owe Him our all. And so I want to spend some time today just in our time together just talking about, again, a response to grace. If you will, allow me to go back and remind you of the definition that you and I have been working from with regard to grace. I said that grace is the dynamic goodness of God bestowed upon the undeserving person who fully relies on Jesus. Grace being the dynamic goodness of God bestowed upon the undeserving person who fully relies on Jesus. Our very familiar definition that many of us have used and will continue to use because it is both true and appropriate is that grace is God's unmerited favor. It is His unearned favor. It is His undeserved favor. It is His goodness that is at work in us and for us so that He is glorified. Grace is a gift from God. It's not something that is earned. It is something that He gives freely to the person who desires to receive. And the goodness of God is something that is dynamic. It's not a one-time experience. It's not a static event. But it is God's goodness constantly being bestowed upon the person who is putting their hope in Jesus. And I like to capture this idea with this one acronym that has been helpful for me. And that is God's goodness received as Christ is exalted. Grace is God's goodness received as Christ is exalted. What we've been talking about is special grace. We haven't been talking about the general grace that is given to anyone who is under the heavens. For we talked about with the general grace. General grace is the reminder that God reigns on the just and the unjust. That when God allows the oxygen, the air that we breathe, to be clean and pure, that is for the just and the unjust. That's His general grace. What we've been talking about is the special working of God's power on behalf of those who put their trust and their confidence in Him. We've said that in order for you and I to avail ourselves of the grace that God makes available to us, there were six things that I suggested that you and I can begin to do more effectively, more consistently, to avail ourselves of the grace that He offers. And the first thing was this: walk in obedience to the revealed word of God to you. When God's truth is revealed, then you walk in obedience to that word that has been revealed. Don't reject it just because it disagrees with where you might be or what you feel. No, if God has declared it, that means that you need to change your mind about whatever it was that you were doing so that you can walk in obedience to God's word. And when you and I walk in obedience to God's revealed truth, he gives us the grace to be able to do it. We also said that you and I need to be growing in our knowledge of who Jesus is. That means that you and I are investing time and energy reading and studying his word from Genesis to Revelation, because the word of God, the entire Bible, speaks to who Jesus is. The reason this was so important for you and me is because grace is more than a word. Grace is more than a doctrine. Grace is actually a person, and his name is Jesus. Grace and truth comes through the person of Jesus Christ. And the more you and I learn about Jesus, the more that we can avail ourselves of a greater supply of God's grace, because every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus. The third thing we said is that we need to have full surrender of our will to God. We need to fully surrender our wills to God. Doing so, a full surrender of our wills to God, will remove the lid from over our lives so that God can shower us with his unlimited supply of grace. The word of God says that God searches throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. When you are fully surrendered to God, you are saying to him, I belong to you, and you can use me and do with me whatever you desire. And when you have that type of attitude, then God gives you a grace that is sufficient to carry you through. We said also, when we began to talk about the quality of God's grace, because we said that it is a sufficient grace, that he gives us an adequate supply of grace to meet every need in our lives, but he also has a quality of grace that breaks every yoke, that restores us where we are broken, and that the quality of his grace cannot be compared with anything that you and I have experienced here on earth, for he does the impossible. We said the fourth thing was then you and I need to walk in humility, that we need to humble ourselves before God and begin to see ourselves in a right light, and to understand that this grace that he gives us is not because of anything that we have done. That is why it is unearned. There is no boasting about the reception of grace, because God gives it according to his good pleasure. So we said, humble ourselves. God commanded in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, he said that he has shown us what is good. And what does he require of us but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God desires us to walk humbly with him. And when we walk in humility, God avails more grace to us. The fifth thing we talked about was being able to cast all of your anxieties on God. And this was more of a focus on the way we pray, the attitude that we pray with, and also the words in which we use. It is always effective to pray God's word back to him to remind him of what he has promised, even as we deal with our struggles. Cast all of our cares on him. Being reminded of what was written in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where he said, do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. He said, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, if you and I will present our request to God, that God will give us a peace that transcends all understanding and that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So we talked about how there is nothing too small to cast before God, and there is nothing too big to cast before God. That if you and I will cast our anxieties before him, cast our cares before him, God will avail us of grace to deal with those very things that make us anxious. Then the final thing was you and I have to let the Spirit control us. Let the Spirit of God control us, to be under the control of His Spirit. That we must be careful that we do not allow the devil to rob us of our faith in God. But we must allow God's Spirit to be at work in our hearts and mind. Allow God's Spirit to open our eyes so that we can see clearly. Allow His Spirit to open our ears so that we can hear. So that we are tuned to the frequency of His voice to know what He is saying and how to do it. And allow God's Spirit then to open our hearts to receive the truth of His words, so that when His seed, the seed of His word, is planted in us, that it will grow up and produce the crop that He so desires. And if you and I began to practice and focus on those six things, it gives us, it makes available to us an unlimited supply of God's grace, which He wants to give us. So then that leads us to where we are today and saying, now that you've received all this grace, what's the right response to God's grace? The right response to God's grace. It is in Romans chapter 12 that I want to read for you a few verses from Romans chapter 12 that really sum up a right response to God's grace. And I want to encourage you to go and take some time and read through that Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read through verse number 8 because it captures for us this idea of what you and I do in response to God's grace. The Apostle Paul is the writer, and he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Number one, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. He says, this then becomes your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so you're no longer allowing yourself to be governed by the pattern of this world, but because you are being refreshed with new understanding, new revelation from God's word, you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're letting the word of God get in you and begin to work new thoughts in you so that you think God's thoughts after Him. You remember over in Isaiah where it says that our thoughts are not like God's thoughts, but His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. When we allow our minds to be renewed, we're being carried to a higher plane to think about things in a different perspective and from a higher level. First of all, present your body or offer your body as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, when you do this, here's where grace shows up. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And if God allows you to see what His will is, that means He is inviting you to participate in the work that He is doing. What's your response to grace? To join God in the work that He is doing, to do what He has called you to do, and to function and to operate in the manner that He has called you to be. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, it says that you and I are God's workmanship, His masterpiece, that we were created to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so we are His workmanship, and the right response to God's grace is to begin to do what we were created to do. Verse number 3 of Romans 12 says, "For by the grace given me," this is Paul, he says, "I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. That male pronoun him is only there for the convenience of the reading, because it could be him or her. It means that when God's grace has been lavished upon you and his gifts given to you according to his grace, then you are to use it or respond appropriately by carrying out that function well. An appropriate response to God's grace. Present your body as a living sacrifice. And in keeping with what Romans chapter 6 says, I love this because he says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. He says, no, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Why? For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And because you are under grace, Paul says, offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Do not allow yourself to be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then he says, according to both the grace and the faith which you have been given, walk in your calling. Walk in your calling. That's the appropriate response to grace, is to walk in your calling, whatever your calling might be. And here's the promise that God has given us gifts, each one of us. And he says then that you and I are to walk in our calling, or walk in our gifting, for the building up of his kingdom, for the edification of his people, and for the glorification of his great name. Grace is received by faith. It's not earned. You can't work for it. But it's received by faith. And you and I both know without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we need faith in order to please God. But then grace comes to us by faith. In grace, the goodness of God that is bestowed upon us, the goodness of God that is received because we exalt Christ, that is what we need in order to fulfill God's calling in our lives. I love it in Ephesians chapter 4. It reminds us that to each one of us, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. He gives us gifts and he gives us his grace as he apportions it. And why does he do that? So that you and I will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. No, he gives us grace so that we, the whole body of Christ that is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, can grow and build itself up in love as each part does its work. So he gives us various gifts so that he can be glorified. So that he can be glorified. in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus was speaking what is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount, at the end of it, where he had talked about blessed are the poor in spirit, and he talked about blessed are those who mourn, and he was just giving them some attributes and saying, at the end of that, he begins to talk about salt and light. Jesus declared to those who were listening to them, he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. But he says, but you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, he said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, your good works, and praise your Father in heaven. The proper response to grace is to let your light shine among men. It's to be salt, is to add flavor, is to preserve righteousness, to be light, to expose truth, and to drive away darkness. To let your light shine so that your good deeds may be seen and glorify your Father in heaven. God has lavished his grace on us so that we can administer that same grace to others. The proper response to grace is not to get it and hold it for myself and just talk about what he has done for me, but to understand that God's desire is that every man would experience his goodness. For that is what he said. He did not send Christ into the world to condemn the world, but he sent Christ into the world to save the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that no one would perish, but everyone might have an opportunity for the tree of life, or to have eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse number 7, Peter gives us these words of exhortation and encouragement. He says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Use your grace to maintain a clear mind and self-control so that you can be prayerful. Above all, love each other deeply. Use your grace to love one another deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Use your grace to be a giver of hospitality. And then in verse number 10, he says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he or she should do it with the strength God provides. That's called grace. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, a proper response to grace is to allow your life to be used to bring glory and honor to God, with the understanding that God offers to you and me a sufficient grace for every situation that we experience, and it is a quality of grace that is able to do amazing things in our lives, to astonish everyone who will see, because he breaks the yokes of the enemy. If you don't mind, I want to just give you this illustration because I think it is one of the most powerful illustrations of what grace looks like as we administer grace to others. It is found in the parable that Jesus tells about a good Samaritan. Someone had questioned him about who is my neighbor, trying to justify themselves and not actually carrying out what God had said or what Jesus had said. And so Jesus told this parable to illustrate what a good neighbor looked like. And I think that when you think about this parable, it looks like what grace looks like. in the life of the believer, in the life of the person who understands that they've received grace from God, unmerited favor, unearned favor from God. And so then they want to take what they've received, God's goodness, and they want to give it to somebody else to be a blessing in somebody else's life. Jesus tells this story. He said, there was a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. It says they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. It says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. What an awesome display of grace. That of all the 3 people that Jesus mentioned, it was only the Samaritan who walked in humility, who took what he had received so it could be a blessing to someone else. It wasn't the priest, it wasn't the Levite, it wasn't the religious person who took and did what needed to be done, but it was a Samaritan, someone in their culture that they considered less than because they were half-breeds, and so they didn't want to give them all the full benefit. But Jesus uses the example of this Samaritan to talk about what grace looks like. He went over, had pity on the man who was wounded and hurt, bandaged up his wounds, took him to a place where he could be cared for, paid for additional care in case any more was needed. That's called grace. And brothers and sisters, when you and I understand that the grace that we have received, the favor that we have received, the goodness from God that has been lavished upon us and poured upon us has not been just for our benefit, but it has been given to us so that we then can be witnesses of the goodness of God in a world that truly needs hope. So that we can be beggars telling other beggars how to find bread, where to find bread, so that we can use whatever God has entrusted to us to be a blessing, so that our good deeds would glorify our Father in heaven. Yes, the response to grace is to surrender your life and to say, I owe him my all. I am not my own, but I have been bought with a price. And because I belong to him with every fiber of my being, I am going to offer myself as a living sacrifice. One who is holy and righteous, made so by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to use my mind, I'm going to use my eyes, I'm going to use my hands, I'm going to use my feet, I'm going to use my tongue to bring glory and honor to him, because I'm going to offer them as instruments of righteousness. And then I'm going to take the gift that he has placed in me, and I'm going to allow that gift to be empowered by his Spirit, empowered by his grace, so that I can serve others effectively and fulfill my role in God's call and purpose upon their lives. That's the right response to grace. I'm not going to try to bank his grace. I'm going to use his grace, and I'm going to become a conduit of grace so that others can be blessed because of the grace that he has lavished upon me. If I surrender myself to him, what I discover is that God has even more grace to help me function in the manner that he has called me to function in. God is the ultimate source and supply of grace. The only way that you can apprehend or get that grace is by your faith and your confidence in Jesus Christ. And the only way then that that grace can be used effectively is if you are being led by the Spirit of God, if you are being controlled by the Spirit of God, and if you are letting the Spirit of God have His way in your life. Yes, all three agencies of the Godhead are at work. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are at work to make grace have full effect upon your life so that you and I can be effective in fulfilling the mission that He gave to each one of us. No matter what your gifting is, no matter how He has designed you and made you, God has a grace that is sufficient to power you so that you can carry out His very work that has been assigned to your hands. Brothers and sisters, the right response, and really and truly the only response that is acceptable to God, is to surrender yourselves and say, God, use me. Have your way, because I belong to you. You made me. I may not be doing what someone else is doing, but as long as I'm doing what you called me to do, that's more than enough. I'm happy to be that particular tool that God you choose to use. I'm yours. Use me. And as I surrender myself to you, then you give me an adequate supply of grace to power me to be able to show your great love to others so that I can administer the grace that you've given me effectively. Father, we thank you so much for being a giver of grace. And we thank you, God, for your Spirit that allows us to respond appropriately to your grace. And as we do so, we thank you that, God, the gifting that you put in each one of us, whether you've called us to be teachers, whether you've called us to be accountants, whether you've called us to be mechanics, God, whether you've called us to be, healthcare workers, God, it does not matter the call. Some have been called to be preachers, God. Some have been called to be evangelists, God. It does not matter how you have called us and created us. We understand that the only way we can be truly effective is if you empower us with your Spirit and give us sufficient grace to carry out your purposes. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for being faithful. And our prayer is that you will simply help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.